Welcome to the Byways Podcast, highlighting the destinations along the highways and byways of North America, as featured in the pages of Byways Magazine. My name is Steve Kirchner, and I've been editor and publisher of Byways for the past 35 years. Today we visit Detroit, Michigan, where it all began. It could be argued that without Detroit, there would have been no need for great American roads, for certainly the history of the automobile is forever tied to this Midwestern city. And like the automobile itself, the city has had many ups and downs. And today, like the domestic automobile industry, Detroit is rising from the ashes. You won't understand this by listening to the late-night comedy pundits about the city or politicians who come to Detroit to talk about how bad the economy is. No, you need to spend a few days here to understand what is really happening. But make no mistake, to reach this point, Detroit had to hit rock bottom, and it did, from political corruption to failing schools to riots to bankruptcy. Detroit has had it all. Just how far did Detroit fall? From a population of more than 1.8 million during the boom days following World War II to a population today of 670,000. From America's fifth largest city to number 18. Where did everyone go? The suburbs. In the case of Detroit, the suburbs took the housing, the schools, the jobs, and the tax base. The Detroit-Windsor area, a commercial link straddling the Canadian-U.S. border, now has a total population of some 5.7 million. Today, the population of Detroit is growing again, and it's getting younger. The real estate market is hot. New residences and commercial buildings are going up everywhere in the city. Abandoned structures are being removed or repurposed. A new Q light rail system has opened to move people from downtown to midtown. So has a new sports arena for Red Wings hockey fans. Millennials are renovating cottages in neighborhoods like Corktown and Hamtramck. Young artists are flocking to new live and workspaces in former industrial buildings. The Detroit Riverfront Conservancy is cleaning up the city's 14 miles of waterfront along the Detroit River, creating recreational and green spaces and making the river accessible again. There are urban gardens everywhere, some 1,400 of them, and there's even a farm and garden store to supply these urban farmers. Nearly 80 new restaurants have opened. There are new hotels and major new attractions. Detroit is a unique blend of urban core and neighborhoods, which reflect the cultures of immigrants who made Detroit great and continue to contribute to the city's renaissance. Downtown preserves some of the country's best examples of 1920s skyscraper architecture, as well as a rich variety of other styles like Romanesque, Renaissance, Revival, Neo-Gothic, and more. Wide avenues like Woodward and Grand River reflect the city beautiful movement of the 1890s and 1900s, All of this was made possible by manufacturing, of carriages first, then automobiles. The Renaissance Center, a mixed-use office and retail complex, opened in 1977. This group of skyscrapers was an attempt to keep businesses in downtown Detroit. Today, it is the world headquarters of General Motors and the tallest hotel in the Western Hemisphere, sitting along the Detroit River and the International Riverfront. More recent landmarks from the 1990s and early 2000s are restored properties like the Weston Book Cadillac Hotel, and new facilities like Comerica Park, Ford Field, Cobo Center, the MGM Grand, and Greektown and Motor City Casinos. The Ford Piquette Avenue Plant. The Ford Motor Company was founded in 1903. Before it was less than a year old, Henry Ford decided to build a new factory on Piquette Avenue. The long New England mill-style building with a red brick exterior and 355 windows, was constructed in 1904. This style was favored by factories in the early 20th century because industrial electric lighting was still being developed. The many windows in long row buildings provided maximum interior lighting and ventilation. The company produced a series of letter cars here before the Model T, starting with Models C, F, and B. Ford built 12,000 Model Ts here. He sold 10,000 the first year for $825. By 2012, the price had dropped to $575, and by 1914, Ford had captured nearly half of the auto market. Production continued at Piquette through 1909, and then was transferred to a new plant in Highland Park. Ford sold the Piquette building to Studebaker in 1911. Today, the Ford Piquette Avenue plant is a non-profit corporation and is open to the public for tours. It is a must-see on any Detroit visit. The Piquette plant is part of the city that was known as Milwaukee Junction, where two major rail systems intersected, providing connections to rail lines throughout the United States and Canada, and thus easy access to national distribution systems. Other auto plants, in addition to Ford, Anderson Electric, Cadillac, Dodge, Packard, and others, were located in this area. Their suppliers also located nearby, so by the 1920s, Milwaukee Junction was the heart of Detroit industry. The Rouge Factory. Henry Ford began buying property along the Rouge River in Dearborn in 1915. His goal was to achieve complete self-sufficiency by owning and operating all the resources needed to produce automobiles. The Rouge Factory industrial complex was completed in 1928. It consisted of 93 buildings, most of them designed by Albert Kahn, and nearly 16 million square feet of floor area crisscrossing 120 miles of conveyor belts. The plant produced the Model A and all the parts for the Model T. At its peak in the 1930s, more than 100,000 people worked at the Rouge. It was literally a city within a city. To support the factory operations, Ford also owned forests, timber, sawmills, iron and coal mines, a rubber plantation, ore freighters, and a regional railroad. The Rouge plant was fully employed through most of the 1960s, but the Ford Motor Company came to rely more on suppliers and gave up mining, lumbering, glass, and steel making. By the early 1990s, only the Ford Mustang was made here, and the property had been reduced to less than half of its original 2,000 acres. In the late 1990s, efforts were made to begin to modernize the Rouge facilities, and it is today the company's largest single complex. Today, the Dearborn truck plant occupies the Rouge plant, producing the F-150 truck line. It is open for tours for groups and individuals. Henry Ford Museum and Greenfield Village. Nearby is the Henry Ford Museum and Greenfield Village. Henry Ford wanted to create a museum that preserved life as it was lived in the present day. His idea was to document the genius of America by showing how ordinary Americans lived and worked and what they have imagined and invented. The museum contains thousands of distinctly American objects, automobiles, locomotives, airplanes, machinery, inventions, and pop culture, and artifacts reflecting significant episodes in our history. These include George Washington's camp bed, Abraham Lincoln's rocker from Ford's Theater, JFK's presidential limousine, and the bus on which Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat. Greenfield Village is the largest outdoor museum in the U.S., with nearly 100 historic buildings moved from their original locations and arranged in a village setting. The intent is to show how Americans lived and worked since the founding of the country. Detroit Institute of Art. The Detroit Institute of Art has one of the country's greatest art collections. It recently undertook an ambitious expansion project, renovating the original 1927 Crete building and adding 35,000 square feet of exhibit space. Most well known is the museum's collections are the frescoes by famous Mexican artist Diego Rivera, entitled Detroit Industry. In addition, the museum has devised innovative ways of displaying traditional collections of paintings, sculpture, silver, and other objects to appeal to audiences without a background in the arts. The Ford family has been a strong supporter of the museum and arts in Detroit. Edsel Ford served on the Arts Commission from 1925 to 1943, and Eleanor from 1943 to 1976. Many of Ford's important paintings were willed to the DIA by Mrs. Ford. The collection is one of the largest in the United States, with holdings in many areas: American, European, modern, and contemporary, and graphic art, as well as significant works of African, Asian, Islamic, Native American, and Oceanic art. Detroit Zoo and Penguin Conservation Center. The new Polk Penguin Conservation Center at Detroit Zoo opened 2 years ago. It is the largest penguin facility in the world, housing more than 80 penguins of 6 different species. It is spectacular outside, and inside offers a unique experience viewing the penguins, and an unparalleled experience for the penguins as well. Sports and Downtown Detroit. Downtown Detroit is a major league sports mecca, with venues such as Comerica Park, home of the Tigers, and Ford Field, home of the Lions, with an easy walking distance of downtown Detroit. Now a third major arena has opened, Little Caesars, home of the Red Wings hockey team. It's all part of a new downtown sports and entertainment district. Built around Little Caesars Arena, the district is 50 blocks of thriving businesses, parks, restaurants, bars, and event destinations. When completed, it will connect downtown and midtown into one contiguous, walkable area where families, sports fans, entrepreneurs, and entertainment lovers who seek a vibrant urban setting can connect with one another. We hope you enjoyed our podcast on Detroit, Michigan, and that you'll return for more podcasts for stories of the destinations along the highways and byways of North America as taken from the pages of Byways Magazine. My name is Steve Kirchner. Thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you again soon.